Today's sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf Kuf Tes Zayin. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Israel Silverstein, Yisrael Ben Zev Dov, and also Le'ili Nishmas Abe Topio's father, whose yahrzeit was yesterday. Alter Chaim Menachem Ben Avram. All the Shas we learn for should have been learned from a learning, and of course, we continue to learn for the safety and the success of Tzahal. They should be able to bring back the Chatufim. They should be successful in everything that they do. They should be Shalom Al Kol Klal Yisrael. Okay, we pick up the Gemara on the very last line of Kuf Tes Vav Omid Beis. Yesterday's shir, we had a discussion about a takala. For example, we said that you're not allowed to keep truma wine that is tameh because you may come to drink it. As opposed to truma oil, there isn't such a concern because you're going to burn it and you can put it in a disgusting utensil, and therefore there is less of a concern that you'll come to imbibe it by accident when, of course, you're not allowed to eat or drink truma that is tameh. So this whole concept of do we make a gzeira because of this potential takola, so the Gemara tells us, last line of Kuf Tes Vav Omid Beis, v'takola atzmo tanoihi. This is in fact a machlokas amongst the tanoim. Do we or do we not make such a gzeira because of this potential concern that you come to drink the truma wine that is tameh? And we bring this down from the following brayse of the Tanya. Chavish shel yayin shel truma shenitmeis. If you have a barrel of wine that had truma inside of it that is tameh, so Beishamai Yomri, Beishamai says, and we turn to Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, Tish Poch HaKol, you go and pour the entire thing out. You don't keep it around because, as Rashi says, Kula B'Yachat, you pour it right out all at once because there's a concern that you may come to drink it by accident if you leave it around. Whereas with Beis Hillel, Mim Tasa Zilif, no, you're allowed to keep it and you can use it for sprinkling because there is heter to use it. It's not also B'Hanah, you're just not allowed to drink it, and therefore use it to sprinkle on their dirt floor so it'll give a nice aromatic fragrance to the room that it's in, and therefore you can use it for that. Now, seems to be a straightforward machlokes being based on Beishamai. Along comes Omer Bishmol Rabbiosi, Ani Achriya. I will be the day Ashlishi, Achriya Benehem. We have a general rule that when you have a third Shita that comes along and seems to decide that one of the two first Shitas is right, so now you have a majority, two against one, and therefore we pass in like the day HaShlishi under certain circumstances. So right now Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says, I will be that day HaShlishi and Ani Achriya, and I will be the one that will go and decide which one of these two Shitas is correct. So again, I'm a Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Ani Achriya, and I will distinguish what situation we pass in like Beis Hillel, what situation we pass in like Beis Shammai. Bibai is Teos Azilof. If the wine is found inside a house, then we paskin like Beis Hillel, and we allow you to keep the wine and use it for zilif, because there's a shorter period of time in the usage of this, because it's in the house already, as opposed to ubasod, if it's out in the field, tishofech hakol, then you pour it right out, as Rashi points out on the top line, the ademat teilei lego beisa osi beili de takola, because in the traveling, bringing it from the field to the house, there's a chance you'll forget, and you may come to use it. So what Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi is saying is that under certain circumstances, we pass in like Beis Hillel, under certain circumstances, we pass in like Beis Shammai, and that's why you say, I will be the machriya. Alternatively, ikad yamre, some said, the Rishon Rios, he said as follows. He says, B'yoshon, if it's dealing with old wine, so then it's eligible to use it as a zilif right now. It already has a nice fragrance to it, so tasa zilif. And you are allowed to use it for the sprinkling on the dust. However, ubechadash, if it's new wine, which isn't useful for sprinkling because it doesn't have a nice aroma, so therefore you're not going to use it yet, you're going to keep it around. There's a chance that you'll end up forgetting that it's truma, that it's tameh, and drink it, so then tishofei hakol, so then pour it right out. So Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi is trying to be the machriya over here. In some situations we pass like Beis Hillel, some situations pass like Beis Shammai, but the Gemara responds back to him, Amru lo, the Talmidim said to him, that no. Now, Rashi elsewhere points out that Rishon Riyosi lived kama shonim achar Beis Hillel u'Beis Shammai hoya. So this doesn't mean that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel responded back to him. That's why I said the Gemara responded back to him. The Talmidim at that time that Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi lived, which was after the times of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, they said back to him, no, your Shita is not a Shita that is machriya between them. Ein hachro shlishis machras. When do we say that a third Shita comes to be machriya between the first and the second Shitas? I'll give you a theoretical example of this. Let's say, for example, that the first shita held the psak of A and B, and the second shita holds the psak of C and D. So the third shita that comes along says, well, we actually paskin like B, and we actually paskin like C. So in that regard, you're now combining the third shita with shita number one in terms of B. So you have two situations, two people, two shitas that are passing B, and only one opinion that doesn't passing like B. So therefore, the third shita is adding on to the first shita to make it two against one. And likewise, in regards to C, it's adding on to the second shita, so now you have two against one. And therefore, that's when the third daya is machria. But the Gemara responds over here to Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, you're not stating a certain aspect of Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, the way I just said it. What you're doing is you're coming along with a third shita, and you're now announcing that in regards to if it's in the house versus in the field, or whether it's new wine versus old wine. Whereas Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, they don't make such distinctions. Beis Hillel says across the board, whether it's in the house or in the field, you're allowed to go and use it. And Beis Shammai says, whether it's in the house or in the field, you can't use it. And likewise, Beis Shammai says, whether it's old or new, you can't use it. Beis Hillel says, whether it's old or new, you can use it. So you as a third shita aren't being machria between them. You're just a separate third shita. And therefore, we don't apply the normal rules that if you have two shitas, so then hadeah hashlishi yachria b'neim. Okay. Mishnah is quoted and it said, imarmalo atzil eshelchov kule. If the person said, if you remember back from the Mishnah from yesterday, the first person poured out his wine in order to save the honey of the second person. So if he didn't say anything, then he's not entitled to the value of his wine. But if he said, I'm only doing this if you'll give me the value of the wine, so then the person who owns the honey is obligated to pay him for the value of the wine. Now the Gemara says, am I? Why is this so? Why can't the person who owned the honey say, even though he'd acknowledge that, okay, if you pour out your wine, I'll pay for it. Why can't he say, I was just joking. I didn't really mean it. You really expect me to pay you $200 for your wine? No, my honey's worth $500. I'm not giving up $200 of it to go and give to you. I was just joking. Because after all, we'll show you from another brisa that this type of an explanation that I was just joking is correct. Milo Tanya. After all, we learned in the following brisa, Hari Shahaya Barech Mibes Asur, guys running away. Let's say Baruch Hashem, one of the Chatufim from Gaza, Hashem should return all of them in Bimheira and punish those Rishayim the way they deserve to be punished. So one of the Chatufim gets away and he runs away and he reaches Vaisa Ma'aboris Lefonim. And he reaches, Rashi says, Ma'aboris is a Sfina Rechav, it's a wide type of a boat, maybe like a raft. Sha'ovim Ba Rochav Anar, and it takes you from one side of the river to the other. And this guy is running away from the people that kidnapped him and he tells the owner of this raft, Amalo, he says to him, here, I'll pay you, leave right now. I'm going to give you a dinar, which is much more than the cost of normally taking the ferry. Normally it costs, you know, a pruta to go across the ferry. He says, I'll give you a whole dinar. Told dinar, take this dinar, the Habi Rainy, and bring me to the other side. Now, he was willing to say, I'll give you a dinar, but he didn't really mean it. So, Anglo El Escaro, when he gets to the other side, so he only has to give the person who owns this ferry, this boat, this raft, he only has to pay him the regular pruta, whatever it costs normally to go and pay. What do you see? Alma, that the person who was running away from the kidnappers, is able to tell him, Amalei, Mishatni Bukha, I was just joking. I wasn't going to give you a dinar to go across this ferry. I will, you know, was just rushing to get it across. I'll pay you what the regular fee is, but I'm not paying you more than that. So too, Hochanami, in our case over here, why can't the owner of the honey say to the owner of the wine, Le Malei, Mishatni Bukha, I wasn't really going to pay you the $200 for your wine. In my example that I gave yesterday, the wine's worth $200, the honey's worth $500. Well, I didn't really mean I'm going to give you $200. No, I pay you $20 for the effort that you put in, but I'm not paying you for your wine. So why can't he respond, Mishatani Bukha, that I was just joking? So when he says, because the two cases aren't comparable. Holo Domi, a little safer. This isn't the same. In our case, with the person on the ferry and the person with the honey and the wine. Holo Domi, a little safer. It's only comparable to the safe of that price, where it said, the Imam Alo. If he said to him, Tol Dinar Zeb Iskarcho of Avireni, take this dinar over here and go and take me across to the other side, then he has to give him the full dinar. No sin l'schar misholim. So the ratio and the seifa of this price seem to be contradictory to each other. Maishna ratio or maishna seifa. What is the reason that in the ratio he said he can say mishatani b'cha, and the seifa he can't say mishatani b'cha, he has to actually give him the full dinar. So what's the difference between the two cases? Seem to be mutually contradictory. So Amar Rami Rechama explains, Bitzayad hasholed dogim in hayam. In the safe of the brisa, where he can demand that he gets paid his full amount. You know why? Because if he hadn't taken this guy across in the ferry, he would have gone fishing during this period of time, and he would have made his zuz worth of fish. He would have caught fish. So therefore, the amalei, if sadetani kavre bezuza, you cost me money over here. You cost me to actually have to give up my livelihood over here as a fisherman to go and cast my nets into the water and catch fish. So okay, I was more than happy to take you across the river because you'll pay me for the amount of money that I would have made anyway. So you you can't say mishatani b'chol that you were just joking. You caused me a financial loss. And therefore, in the Sefer Debraisa, no stein lo schoro mishalom. You have to give him the full amount because you caused them a loss. So too, in our case, in the ratio, when the guy said, take me across the ferry for a dinner, he can say mishatani b'chol because he didn't cause him any loss. He goes now, he goes a few minutes later, he wasn't fishing. So it didn't cost him anything. So therefore, he only has to pay him the pruta, let's say, whatever it was for the standard fee to get him across, but he doesn't have to pay him the unusual amount of the dinner that he said he would pay. Okay. Then we quote the Mishnah and said, Shotaf nohar chamoro v'chamor chaveiro. If the river overflowed and it carried away your chamor, which we said was worth, let's say, 100, and the friend's chamor, which was worth 200, so chaveiro's chamor is worth more than your chavar, shelo yofin money. Yours is worth the money, his is worth 200. So if you didn't make any deal and you said, I'm going to go save your animal, and he didn't say anything, so then he only has to pay you for your time. But if you said, I'm going to save your animal, even though mine is now going to drown, then you have to pay me for my animal, so then he has to go and pay him. So this is very similar to the case of the wine and the honey. Both of them seem to be similar. If you didn't say anything, then you're only entitled to your wages for the amount of time that you spent either saving his honey or for saving his donkey. But if you said, I'm only doing this on the account that you pay me for my wine or that you pay me for the loss of my donkey, then he has to pay him. So why do we need both cases? What does one case tell you that the other case doesn't? So Gemara says, Utsricha, you need both cases. Why? Because the Yashmin Nun Kamais, if we only had the case of the wine and the honey, you know what I would have said? Hasan, in that case, who? Bechi Perish Yahiv Le Demei Kule. Because he said specifically that I want you to go and pay me for my wine. So then the person who owns the honey has to go and pay him. Why? Mishum Dibiyodayim Koposit. Because he poured his wine out. That's why the guy has to go and pay him for the wine. But here, in the case of the donkey, Abahocho Dimimela, he's not killing his donkey, he's just not saving his donkey in order to go save his friend's more expensive donkey. So you might have said, maybe, Neymar, ain't Loel Iscaro. Well, he's not entitled to anything because, after all, the person who owns the expensive donkey didn't go and kill the less expensive donkey. As opposed to the case of the wine, the guy poured his wine out in order to go save the other guy's honey. So that case, I would have said, only in the wine-honey case does the owner of the honey have to pay for the wine, but in the $200 donkey versus the $100 donkey, where the donkey died, so to say, on its own, so then he doesn't get entitled to go and be reimbursed for his $100 donkey. That's what I might have said. He should only receive the efforts for his working. He should get $10 for the amount of work that he did. That's why you need to tell me the second case with the donkeys. No, just tell me the case with the donkeys. Yashmin and Sefer, you only told me the case with a $200, $100 donkey. I would have said, ha-ha, only in this case, who de bistoma ain't lo el ischaro. I would have said, okay, if he says specifically, I'm only saving your donkey, if you pay me for my donkey, fine, he has to pay him. But in the case of Stam, where he didn't say anything, then only in that case does the $200 donkey owner not have to pay the $100 donkey owner for his donkey. He just has to pay him for his time, only ischaro. Mishum dimimela, because again, the $100 donkey died on its own, so to say. But I would have said in the case of the honey and the wine, aval hosam dibiyodayim, the guy poured out his wine with his own hands to save the other guy's honey. So even if he didn't specify, I want you to pay me for my wine, or else I'm not doing it, even though the other guy didn't specify, yes, I'll pay you for your wine, and he didn't specifically ask to be paid for the wine, one might have said, Emo, afilu bistama, even without saying, I'm only doing this if you go pay me for my wine, that the stam position is, you have laid the mekul, and he would have to go and pay him for the $200 worth of wine, even if he didn't specifically state so, because after all, he did it with his own hands. So maybe you might have thought that in the stam case even, that the owner of the honey would have to pay the owner of the wine, the $200 worth for the wine. So there, tzricha, you need to tell me both cases, that both in the honey and wine case, as well as the two different types of donkey cases, it was stam, he didn't mention anything, he only has to pay you for your time, he doesn't have to pay you for the wine or the $100 donkey respectively. And in the case where he did specify, you have to pay for the $200 worth of wine or the $100 donkey because it was specifically mentioned. Now they ask the following question of the Beis Medrash. Boy, minei, Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana asked Rav the following question. What happens if the guy who owned the $100 donkey said to the other guy, listen, I'm going to go save your donkey, but I'm going to lose my donkey, and you have to pay me for it. And then the other guy says yes, and the first guy, the owner of the donkey, goes to try to save the $200 donkey, Yorad Lahatzil. However, he was successful in doing that, but meanwhile, his own donkey survived. The Ola Shelo Me'elav. his own donkey did survive. So now he had said, I'm saving your $200 donkey and you have to pay me for a $100 donkey that will, the stomach be lost. But then as it turns out, it's not lost. It was able to save itself. So now, is he entitled to another $100 from the $200 donkey owner? Plus he gets his own $100 donkey back because it's alive or not? Now, what's the law? So Amalei. So Rav tells Rav Kahana, in this situation, the $100 donkey survived. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a present. Mishmaya Rechimu Alei, because maybe this guy was a nice guy, and he offered to do this. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're not such a nice guy, I'm going to give you back your donkey anyway. And the $100 donkey survived the flood. Kiha, the Rav Safra, and this is analogous to a case with Rav Safra, who was once Habakozul B'Shayarasa, he was once going on a caravan with a whole bunch of other people through a very dangerous area, and somehow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that Lavinhu Hau Ari, there was a lion that came along with them, and the lion scared away any other predators, either people or animals, and the lion accompanied them and protected the caravan. And in order to make sure that the lion didn't attack them, in order to make sure the lion didn't go and eat up all their animals, so what they did was every night, the people in the caravan, every night, called Leila, Koshadar Lechamra, every night they gave him a donkey to this lion to eat. The Chad Minayu, of one of them. So they pooled their resources and say, okay, tonight you give the donkey, tomorrow you give the donkey, tomorrow you give the donkey. The Kocha, the lion would eat the donkey, the lion was satiated. Lions don't usually attack unless they're hungry. So the lion didn't feel the need to go and eat any of the other donkeys. But meanwhile, the lion tagged along with them, and it protected them from other animals, other predators, and other armed robbers and human beings. So therefore, they had agreed amongst themselves that each night one of them would give a donkey to the lion. So let's say there were seven of them there, and they had seven donkeys, and they were traveling for 7 days. So each night, one of them would give a donkey. That was the deal that they made. Now, when it was Rav Safra's turn to give the donkey over, he willingly did so. He bought this money to Rav Safra, so he gave over his donkey to the lion. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it below Achle. The lion didn't eat Rav Safra's donkey. And what did Rav Safra do? So he took it back. But he did it in a way that it seemed to be Hefker already. So he went and acquired it back from the status of being Hefker, implying that he was concerned that since it was Hefker, anybody else could go and grab it and take it. So you clearly see from here that Rav told Rav Kahana that, no, the $100 that he was entitled to be paid by the owner of the $200 donkey, he still gets. And now his original donkey was Hefker. He acquired it back from the Hefker, and therefore he wasn't obligated to reimburse the other people in his group for the cost of his donkey that he didn't lose it. He got lucky, so to say. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped him out. So too, in our case, the $200 donkey owner still has to pay the $100 donkey owner the $100 for his donkey, and the $100 donkey owner is allowed to go and be zocha back his donkey from Hefkerus. Okay. Amalei Ravacha Miditi L'Ravina. Ravacha asked, however, Ravacha, who came from the city of Ditti, came and asked Ravina, Lomalei Lemiskebe, why was Rav Safra even required to go and reacquire his donkey from Hefker? After all, Nehi Dechi Afkere Adaiti De Arye Afkere, he only was Mafkere to the lion. The purpose wasn't that it should be now Hefker for anybody to come and take it. No, he was giving it to the lion. Adaiti the Kuliyama, but according to this, the rest of the world would not be entitled to go take it. It wasn't Hefker to the rest of the world. It was only Hefker to the lion. Lo Afkere except to the lion, and therefore the rest of the world couldn't have taken it. Why did Rav Safra have to go and acquire it back? That's a side question that Rav Achmi Difti asked Ravina. Ravina responds, and he says, Amalei, no, Rav Safra l'Ravocha d'milsuhu d'yavid. Rav Safra didn't want to take any chances that somebody else would go and grab it for us, and then he would be involved in litigation with the guy. The other guy would say, oh, it was Hefker to the lion, it was Hefker to the whole world. And Rav Safra would say, no, it was only Hefker to the lion and not Hefker to the whole world. So Rav Safra said, why take any chances? I'm officially going to be mezakeh back on my behalf. And therefore, even if somebody were to say that it was Hefker to the whole world, I got it back on my own. Another question, boy mine Rav, me Rebbe. Rav asked Rebbe, review that Nasi, what happens if the scenario was Yorid Lahatzil, that in our case of the $100 donkey saying to the $200 donkey guy, I'll give up my animal to save your animal and you'll pay me back for my animal. And the $200 donkey owner agreed. And the $100 donkey owner went to go and save the $200 donkey, Yorid Lahatzil. However, Velohitzil, he wasn't able to save the animal. Mahu, what's the halach in this situation? Is he entitled to the compensation because his own donkey died as well? Or is he not entitled to the compensation because, after all, he didn't save the other guy's donkey, so the deal is null and void? That's the question that Rabbi asked Rabbi. So Amalei Rabbi answers Rabbi. He says, Zusha Ela. Oh, this is Akasha. As you can see in the Masorah Sashas, in Oz Dalet, he brings down from other Gemaras. And the other Gemaras, it tells us that Rashi says, Binichusa, when he says this is a good Shaila, it means Shaila Gedola Shalta. You asked a great question. Yofi Shalta. You asked very nicely. Vashivchala, and I will go and answer you. So, in other words, he was basically saying, this is an excellent question that you asked. And the answer is as follows. Ein lo eloscharu. In this situation where he didn't do what he said he would do, I will save your $200 donkey, and therefore you will have to pay me the $100 of my donkey. If he doesn't save the $200 donkey, Rabbi Paskin, that he's not entitled to the payment for his $100 donkey. No, he's entitled for the work that he did, so he can get paid $20 for the time and effort that he spends trying to save the $200 donkey, but he doesn't get reimbursed for his $100 donkey. Gemara says, Rav asked him back, Esfe, how come? After all, Hasocher es ha-poel, if a person hires a worker to go to work for him, we turn to Kufte Zayin Mubeis. And the work that he's asking to do is lahavi kruv, to go and bring either cabbage and or vidur maskinin. This dur maskinin is, Rashi says, means a quince, prusha. That's the Lashon from his Rebbe, Lashon Mori. Lashon Acher, an alternative answer, is that it's a foreign language word which means a certain type of a grass that's eaten, bishlokus keder, it's a stewed type of a vegetable that people eat. In any event, the person is hired to go bring back these things. V'holach umitzo shemeso shehivri. When the worker goes and brings back this quince or the cabbage or whatever it is that he was asked to bring back, he finds out that the person who hired him either has passed away or that the person is better and no longer needs this kruv or dur maskinin that he was using for medicinal purposes. So in that situation, he is able to demand that no sin lo schor mishalim. He could demand from the estate or from the person himself, if the guy got better, said, listen, I did exactly what I was asked to do, so therefore you have to pay me for my full wages for getting you this kruv or dur maskinin. So how come over here the $100 guy can't say to the $200 guy, listen, pay me the money that you have to, just like the person bringing the kruv or dur maskinin can say, listen, the fact that you're better, big deal, who cares? I spend time and effort doing this. You have to pay me the full amount. And therefore, the $100 guy can say to the $200 guy, what difference does it make that I didn't get your donkey back? I spend time and effort. I should be paid my full amount. So that's what Rav said to Rebbe. Rebbe answers him back. He says, no, the two cases aren't comparable. I'm only me, dummy. How can you compare the two cases? In the case of the guy who was asked to bring back the cabbage or the damaskin in, so he did bring it back. Me, dummy. He brought it back. The fact that the guy is dead or the guy doesn't need it anymore, who cares? He did exactly what he was supposed to do. He brought back the kruv or the damaskin in. Whereas in our case, he said he's going to save the $200 donkey, and he didn't. He didn't do it, so therefore, he's not entitled to get paid because he didn't do what he was asked to be paid for. Albeit, he can demand a certain amount of payment for the time and effort that he put in. Tana Rabbanan, we learn the following braisa, Shayara Shahis from Alechas Bamidbar. If you have a caravan that is going in the wilderness, it's going in the desert, the Amad Alea Gaius Latarfa, and a marauding troop of armed robbers comes to attack them. And what do? They buy them off. So the armed robbers aren't really interested in just killing them. They want their money. So the people in the caravan say, okay, here, we'll pay you off not to attack us. So how do you establish how much each person in the caravan has to pay? Let's say there are 10 people in the caravan, and the robbers are asking for $100,000. So does each one have to give $10,000? Or do you do, well, this guy was a really rich guy. He had $500,000 there, so he's benefiting more than the guy that had only $5,000. So the Omnila guys, the Tarfa, how do you go and figure out when they pay them off how much each person in the caravan has to pay? So the answer is, Mechashvin Lefi Mamon, how much each person actually benefited. The guy that saved $500,000 and everybody else only saved $5,000, so the guy with the $500,000 savings, he has to pay a much larger share, proportionate share. So let's say he was 80% of the funds that would have been stolen by the robbers, so he has to pay 80% of the bribe that they gave to the robbers not to attack them. You go based upon how much each person saved. You don't count up all the 10 people, each of you give 1/10 of the amount, because it's not fair. The different people there, since their lives weren't at risk, it was only their money that was at risk. Well, this guy had more money at risk, so he should have to pay more. However, if they in fact had a guide, v'im sachu tayor, Rashi says a tayor is a ma'ar elohem aderech, he's a guide, he's supposed to protect them, and their lives are at stake in this situation. Ha'olech lefneim, and this tayor is going in front of them, and now they're going to be attacked, and they're going to be killed. So then, m'chashvin af lefi nefashos, then you have to take into account how much each of their the people that would be killed over here, that this one can say, listen, why should I pay more than you? Your life was at risk, my life is at risk, and then you pay a head tax, so to say. So they have to pay $100,000, so then each of them pays $10,000, even though the guy that has $500,000 would have lost more money, but their lives are the same, and therefore each pays according to the head. Each pays the same amount. But the price ultimately includes is whatever the custom is. That's what you do. So if the custom isn't that you go by the value, or it isn't that you go by the number of lives, let's say there's a set amount that they know. This, if you were attacked, so everybody has to pay based upon their income or based upon what they're carrying, plus some sort of a computation and a formula based upon lives, plus that. So then you do whatever the minhag is. V'lo yishanu minhag ha'chamarim, as Rashi says, she'im nagu l'tayir l'fi mamon, o l'fi nefashos osin, even if they have a guide, would only be a head tax in terms of buying off. But if that wasn't the custom, or if that was the custom, whatever the custom is, that's what you follow. Similarly, you have the same thing. Rashayin Achamor and Lahasnos, if you have a whole bunch of people going on a caravan and they each have their donkeys with them, and the donkeys are potentially going to be attacked, and they may lose some donkeys, so they make a deal that will reimburse anybody that loses their donkey, because we want everybody to participate in the shmir of the donkeys. So let's say there are 10 people again, and each of them has at least one donkey, so then each of them is contributing to the watching of the donkeys. And they made a deal amongst them. They made a pact that if any one of the donkeys is lost, everybody will chip in to buy the guy a new donkey. And this way he'll be incentivized to go and still watch all the donkeys. And that's the deal that they made. Rashayin Achamor and Lahasnos, they're allowed to make these deals, and everybody agrees to it beforehand. Shekomi Shiyova Lo Chamor. If anybody does lose their donkey, so Yamid Lo Chamor Ached, that the rest of the group will help him purchase a new donkey, and it has to be Bedavka, a purchasing of a new donkey, so he'll be incentivized to go and continue to watch the donkeys with them so that they won't be preyed upon. What happens if he was negligent? Bechusya, as Rashi says, if he was bipshia, his donkey got lost because he didn't bring it into the corral. He didn't bring it in with the other donkeys. He left it out the pasture and the lion picked it off. So then, ain't my meeting. Then they have no responsibility to go and buy him a new donkey. He has to go buy a new donkey on his own because he was negligent. However, Shalom Bechusya, if he wasn't negligent, so then, mamidim, then they're obligated to go and help him buy a new donkey. No, this guy's says, listen, I don't want a new donkey, I'll just take the money. The Imam Artanuli, go give me the money that you would have given me, Vani Yeshua, and I'll still protect all the other donkeys. I don't need a donkey right now, but I'll still continue to go and watch all the donkeys with you, so Ein Shom Lo. They don't have to listen to him, as Rashi says, because Shema Lo Yikach HaChamor, he's not buying a donkey, V'yem Lo Hisnu, and if they didn't make this deal, Ela Kadesh Yikach HaChamor, V'yem Moser Nafsho Lishmori Mahem Belelos, Minachayos Holistim. The whole reason why they agreed to this deal was in order to incentivize him that he should go and watch all the animals, because his own animal's in it as well. If he just has no stake in it because he just took the money and doesn't have a donkey there to watch, he's not going to watch it so well, or he's really going to say, no, I'm not really doing it. So therefore, they only have to give him a donkey. They don't give him the money to go purchase a donkey because he may not go purchase a donkey. Gemara says, Pshita, why would we think otherwise? That was the deal. So Gemara says, Lo Tricha, you need this psak here to teach us the following situation, the Isle Chamra Achrina. He has two donkeys. One of his donkeys is lost. He still has a donkey, so he's still incentivized to go watch the donkey. So you might think in this situation, wow, the time I might have said, Haw Kamintalay, since he's going to be watching the donkeys because he still has one donkey in the game, so maybe he doesn't need to buy the second donkey. He can just take cash for the second donkey. No, Kamash Long, the Chiddush of this memory is that shiny, it's different over here when he has one versus two donkeys. Shiny Nitirusa the Chad, Minitirusa the Betray. He will be much more incentivized if he has two donkeys over there to watch it better than if he only has one donkey there. So therefore, they have the right to say, we're not giving you money, we're going to only give you a new donkey. So, you already have one donkey? So now you have two donkeys, you'll watch it better than if you only had one donkey. Tana Rabbanan, we learn the following price. You have a boat that's going together, a whole bunch of boats, like a caravan. Similar, they're all traveling together at the sea. And Omar Ola Nachsho Letovo, and along comes a big wave that's going to go and drown one of the boats. So what they do is they go lighten the load so the boat won't sink. So how do you decide what to lighten the load? So you base it based upon how much weight each person has, how much luggage they have, how much merchandise they have, and you proportionately throw over. So everybody, let's say, throws over 10 pounds. But you don't look at the value of it. This guy's throwing over something that's, you know, worthless, relatively worthless, although it's heavy. So he throws over 10 pounds of junk, and the other guy throws over 10 pounds of gold. So in mechashim v'limam, you don't look at what they're throwing over, but you look at the weight. However, if the minog was that they did take into account the value of it, then you do take into account the value of it. And you say, listen, you throw over 20 pounds of junk and he'll give you the value of that with his gold instead of throwing over the gold. So it all depends on the minog. Now, the rashayin ha'safon and lahasnos, the people on the boats are allowed to make it tonight. Shekol Misha of the Losfina, if they have multiple boats going together, so anybody that loses their boat, so in order that the boats should all stay safe together and protect each other, so if somebody does lose their boat, you'll be incentivized to go and get a new boat and continue to help participate in the shmir of all the other boats. Shekol Misha of the Losfina, Yamid Losfina, so give him another boat. Now, this is very similar to the donkeys that we said. Now, of the Lo Bechusya, if he was negligent and didn't take care of his boat properly, he didn't go with all the other boats and he hit the rocks and his boat sank, so then they don't have to pay him. They're not required to go and pay for him for a new boat. However, if it's Shalom B'chusya, he didn't do anything negligent, and therefore his boat sank for whatever the reason, but it wasn't because of negligence, so then they're obligated to go give him a new boat. Mamidim lo, the E Pirish Lamokum Shein Hasfinos Holchin in Mamidim. But if his boat went away to a place where he shouldn't have gone, so then it's like it's negligent, albeit it wasn't negligent, as we'll explain in a second, and they don't have to provide him with a new boat because he didn't keep his boat in the places we were supposed to. Someone says, duh, pshita, isn't that negligence? So of course they don't have to give a new boat. What are you teaching me by saying his boat went to a place where he wasn't allowed to go? So that's negligence. Someone says, no, it's not negligence. Lord Shricha, you need it because depending on the time of the year, the rivers are very full, the rivers are not so full, so he might be allowed to go into this place during the times of the years when the river is pretty full, but he's not allowed to go there when the river is less full. And therefore, the Benison, the Merachake Chad Ashla, Ubitishrei, Merachake Trei Ashlei, in Nisan, when the stomach, the waters are very filled, so then they can go within a certain length of the river bank. An ashla is a rope's length, so they can, since the waters are higher, so they're not going to crash into the rocks at the bottom of the water. The water's deeper, so then they're allowed to go within one ashla's distance of the river bank. But Betishrei, when the rivers aren't as deep, so they have to stay further away. Merachke Trei Ashlei, they have to stay two rope lengths away from the riverbank because there's rocks there or whatever. It's the boat's going to go ground. So what happened? This guy, the Ka'azil Bayomi Nisan, in the month of Nisan, he went Limakom Tishrei. He went to the two boat lengths away from the river, and there the water was already too deep or too dangerous, and that's why he crashed. But, mild at him, I might have said, Davshe Nokit V'Azil, since he was used to going over there, he's allowed to go over there even though he shouldn't have, and he's not held accountable. So therefore, in this situation, you might have thought that he's not considered negligent, so Kamash Malon, the Chiddush is, that he is held negligent in that situation, therefore the other people ain't Mamid, and they don't have to go and give him a new boat. Another bright, so Tana Rabbanon, Shayara Shayisam Aleches Bamidbar, you have a caravan that's going in the desert, and V'omeb Gaius Utrofa, and along come armed robbers, and they go, and they destroy the caravan. However, the Omad Echad, a strong guy amongst them, gets up, the Omad Echad Mehen Vihitzel, and he fights them all off. And now he wants to keep all the properties. He says, hey, listen, I was the one that fought them off. So the answer is, the Brisa says, Hitzoliam said, no, he has saved all the properties from these armed robbers, and everybody gets their own property back. He basically was acting as a shaliach on behalf of everybody else to save the property. However, if before he went to go and fight off these robbers, he said, I'm fighting on my own behalf, and if I win, I'm going to keep everything that I get. If I lose, they're going to kill me. They're not going to kill you. So then, he in fact is able to keep everything for himself. So the more questions is, it says, what exactly are we talking about over here? What's the case? If, in fact, all the other people of the caravan could have gone and fought the robbers themselves and had won, so then, so then, just because he says, I'm going to do it and keep it for myself, well, they could have done it also. So just because he jumped ahead and saved the property, they never were miyayish, they never gave it up on it, and therefore, why should he be able to get it? It should go back to everybody. It goes back to the emsa, even if he said so. No. If they weren't capable, the Idalo Yochol Hatzil, they were not physically able to go and do what needed to be done to stop the robbers from taking it, and only this one guy could do it. So then, I feel the Rashi and I'm the Yatzil. Then, even in the beginning, we didn't say I'm doing it on my behalf. So they all basically were miyayish, and therefore he should be able to keep everything. So what's the case over here that in the Rashi it goes back to the middle, and only in the Sefer Hitzil Yatzil. So Rabbi Rechama says, you know what we're talking about? Hacha bishut finaskinan. They were all partners over here. So therefore, when he's just doing it, Amar Echad Mehem Behitzel, he was still a partner with them, and he can't go and keep it all for himself because he's acting on behalf of the partnership. However, in the second case where he said, I'm doing this on my own behalf, he's essentially breaking up the partnership by saying so. Amar plig. It's as if he had said, I hereby divide up our partnership, and you're allowed to divide up the partnership at any point in time, as we'll see. And therefore, it's as if he said, I'm dividing up the partnership, I'm a plig. However, lo amar, if he didn't say anything, like in the ratio, so then lo plig, so he's still acting as a partner, and therefore he's saving it for everybody. That's teretz number one, Rami Bachama. Teretz number two, Rava Amar, not necessarily mutually exclusive. Rava says, you know what we're dealing with over here? Chacha bepoalin askinim. We're dealing over here where he is a hired worker on behalf of the people that own this property. And therefore, if he's a hired worker for them, so he's working on their behalf. But if he's a hired worker, Uchi Rav, if he holds like the opinion of Rav, the Amar Rav said that a worker can stop working at any point in time. So, Poel Yochol Asubo Afilu B'chatzi Ayom. Seeing that he was a hired worker for them, so he says, listen, these robbers are coming. If I'm going to put my life on the line, I'm doing it for myself, not for you, and therefore, I no longer am your employee. Now he's no longer their employee. They have obviously given up hope because there's no way they could get it back on their own. So therefore, if he said, I'm no longer your employee, so then he gets to keep it for himself. But if he didn't say, I'm no longer your employee, then he's working as their employee, and they get to keep all the things that he saved. It goes back to them. The Kamed, the Lohoder Bay, since he didn't go in the Reisha and retract as being an employee, so Kibi Rishu say, the Balabai is dummy. So it's as if he's working in their employee, which he is, and therefore he's saving it for them. However, the Chihoder Bay in the Seifa, he says, I'm no longer your employee. I'm giving up my employment status and now I'm working on my own. So then, Taimach Rinahu. He's basically functioning in another way. In this situation, the Pasuk tells it to Siv, Kili Bnei Yisrael Avadim. Avodaihim velo avodim liavodim, and they're not workers for this other person. So he has the right, according to Rav, to give up his employment status. He's now a free person, and therefore he's working for himself, and he's not working on their behalf. That's teretz number two. Teretz number three, Rav Ashi Amar, again, not mutually contradictory. He says, no, the other people, if they really worked at it, might have been able to prevent the robbery from taking place. So therefore, Gale Daite Liatzmo, if he says, I'm doing this only for myself, so if you guys want to step in and do it, Yuzuntay, go and do it. But if you're not stepping, then I'm doing this for myself. So therefore, he is able to keep it for himself. But if he didn't say anything, so they could have said, listen, we could do this ourselves, but he's doing it anyway, so let him do it. So Lo Gale Daite, then if he didn't go and say, I'm doing this for myself, he just went and did it. So then Lamsa, then it stays with them because they theoretically could have done it on their own. That's Terence number three, the third and final Terence, and that one is from Ravashi. Okay, let's start the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, HaGozel Soda Mechaveru, if somebody steals a field from his friend, Mechaveru. So let's say Shimon stole this field from Reuven. Keep it consistent. We've been using Reuven as the person who was Nignav, and Shimon has been the Ganav, so let's keep it that way. And then, from Shimon, Unitalua Masikin. Masikin come along. We'll see in the Gemara what exactly the word Masikin means. But basically, Rashi tells us it means Anosim, armed robbers come along, and Gozlua Minagaslan. So the armed robbers come and take it from Shimon. Unatalua Masikin from Shimon, from the robber. So it depends. Im Makas Medini, if they're stealing everybody's property. So then Shimon has the right to say to Reuven, listen, they stole everybody's property. So it's not because I stole it from you and therefore I should be held accountable for it. No, they were stealing everybody. If I hadn't stolen from you, they would have stolen it from you themselves. Because they stole Levi's property, they stole Yehuda's property, they stole Yisachar's property, they stole Yisroel's property. So they stole your property as well, even though it's in my possession. So then Shimon, the robber, has the right to say to Reuven, the Nignab, Omer Lo, Harei Shochal Fenecha. Hey, there's the field. Go get it back from these armed robbers if you want, but don't blame me. I'm not held accountable for it. However, if they only stole it from Shimon in Machmas HaGazan, they said, hey, Shimon, you have no real status in owning this property. We're going to take it from you. We're not taking Levi's. We're not taking Yehuda's. We're not taking Yisachar's. We're just taking this from you. You're the only one that we're stealing property from. So then it's because of him. So then Chayev Lahamid Lo Soda Achim. Then he is held accountable. Since they only stole it because it was him, therefore, Shimon, in that situation, would have to go pay Reuven for the lost property or get it back and give it to him. Now, Gemara starts off and says, what is this word, masikin? Amar Nachman bar Yitzchak, man detoni masikin, the one that has the gear, so we have in our Mishnah that it's the word is masikin, lo mishtabish, didn't make a mistake, and those that had the different gear, so man detoni matzikin, if they had the gear, so matzikin, also lo mishtabish, that's also a correct gear, so the word masikin and matzikin both mean the same thing. Granted, our gears happen to be masikin, but it would have been perfectly fine if it had been matzikin. Why is that? Because if you had the lashon of matzikin with the tzadi, man detoni matzikin lo mishtabes, they didn't make a mistake. Because d'chsev, we have a pasuk that tells us that b'motzar u'b'motzok. What's the whole pasuk? It says v'yochal to pri vitnecha b'sar banecha u'v'nosecha asher nasan lecha Hashem lokecha b'motzar u'b'motzok asher yotzik lecha oivecha. This is in the tochecha, and it says that the enemies are going to come and take away all your property. They're going to be b'motzar. They're going to siege it, and they're going to matzok. They're going to torment you. They're going to oppress you. So therefore, we see that the word matzok means an oppression, a persecution. So therefore, these matzikin are people that go and persecute you. They take your field from you. So therefore, if the lashon of the Mishnah had been matzikin, it would be a perfectly correct girsa. Uman the Tony Masikin, the girsa that we have was matzikin also. Lo Mishtavish didn't make a mistake because there still we have a different pasuk that says, Yoresh Hatzalat Sal. The pasuk tells us also the Tochacha, Kol Eitzacha Ufri Ad Mosecha, Yoresh Hatzalat Sal. Now what does that mean? Yoresh, they will inherit the Tzlatzal is a type of locust, the type of grasshopper. So what you see there, the Tagamina, the Targum, Unkelis says, Yachsinei Sakor. So it uses this lotion of Sakor for the locust. So you see that that means the term of Geneva, that these locusts will go and steal from you. So therefore, the lotion of Masikin also is a lotion of robbery. Okay, this is a good break point. We'll stop over here at the two dots. With this, we conclude today's share.